morning once again and welcome. And to all of those who are listening to us this morning through the internet, special welcome. This morning I want us to begin by opening up our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Gospel of John, chapter 10. Let's just pray and believe that anything that is said here today is not me, but by the Spirit. Father, I thank you that you think through my mind and you cause the words that I speak to become life to all who hear. I thank you for this privilege to stand and share your word, share your love with your people, Lord. And I just thank you that this word will become life to each one of us today. In Jesus' name, I thank you. John chapter 10. Very, very familiar passage of scripture I want to read. And we've heard this passage many, many times. But this morning, I want to read it from the Amplified. I don't know how many here. Diane usually uses an Amplified. I don't know if any of us have an Amplified Bible here this morning. Because the Amplified expounds the sum of the words. They say it's the women's version. You know, it's very wordy. But it expounds to the point where we get a much better understanding and a bigger picture of what is being said. And so in the Amplified, John chapter 9, verse 9 and 10, it says this: I am the door. Anyone who enters in through me will be saved or will live. He will come in and he will go out freely and he will find pasture. Verse 10, the thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I come that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Now, what I want to talk about here today and I want to key in is in the King James Version, it doesn't have the word enjoy. But if you look up the word have life from the King James, enjoy is one of the definitions given in there. And I think it's very important for us to understand that when Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, that you might have and enjoy life. Do you know that there are so many Christians that have eternal life? They know they're going to heaven. They know they have the life of God in them, but they're not enjoying life. And they would even argue with you and say, it's not about enjoying life. You know, this life, we get through it. We accept what comes our way because we know and we always have our eyes focused on the next life. In the next life, we see ourselves enjoying life, right? When we think of when we leave this earth, we think of heaven as being paradise, as being everything we in our hearts and in our minds could ever have imagined. Full enjoyment, right? Isn't that how we see the next life? But Jesus said, I am come that you might have and enjoy this life. So there is many Christians, and I mean people in the world as well, that are not enjoying life. And you know, I'm not talking about that once a year vacation. You plan and you look forward to it. And then when you go on that vacation, I'm sure Josh, Megan, and Parker are having a great time. They are enjoying their vacation. That's not what I'm talking about here today. I'm talking about enjoying every moment of every day, no matter what's going on in your life. Enjoying life. Being excited about life. Everyday life. Jesus said, I am come that you might have and enjoy everyday life. Enjoy it so much, the enjoyment of it just overflows. Come on, anybody there? Just overflows. Are we really enjoying life? You know, it's funny, the Lord asked me a question the other night. It was late, I was tired, and my mind was whirling. I had so many things going through my mind as I was laying there trying to fall asleep, and I couldn't seem to clear my mind to fall asleep. And then it was like this little voice rose up on the inside of me and said, are you having a good time yet? Are you enjoying yourself yet? And I thought, whoa. I don't know about you, but sometimes you hear so much about the good life, you hear so much about what we ought to be, that you just get frustrated because you know you're not there. It's like you're looking in at this picture, and it's like, yeah, someday I'm going to get in there. And that's kind of the feeling I got. It was like, yeah, am I enjoying yet, or am I still waiting to enjoy? And if so, when is it gonna happen? So are we really enjoying life, each moment of each day? Or are you just existing, just waiting for Jesus to come back and get me? Or are you looking for tomorrow to enjoy life? Or maybe next week to enjoy life, depending on what you got planned in your schedule. But not today. Today is just an everyday, drab, yucky work day. Or perhaps you are waiting until you get a promotion in your job. Or maybe you're waiting till you get married. Then you're really going to enjoy life. Ha ha. Or maybe you're waiting till you finish your degree. You know, how many kids go to university and they don't enjoy it. Like, they just kind of push through it because they got one goal, and enjoyment comes after they get the degree. But you know, life is like that. It's like after this, after this, after that, then I'm going to start enjoying life. In fact, you know, there's people that even think that they're going to start enjoying life when they get when they retire, when they get their pension. I tell you what, you're getting older. When do we start enjoying life? And then when we get there, we look back and we wish we could turn the clock back and be young again, because then we would enjoy life, right? Come on, you know I'm talking the truth here. So very few people wake up each day with an excitement for that day, no matter what the day brings. Well, praise God, we've got one here that does. You know, in fact, I was thinking about this very thing, and the only ones I could think of, really, that get excited and are so anxious for each day, they just love life. These are little children. Little children love life. I had four of my own, four little ones. And if you've had children, you remember how little children are, you know. I have grandkids now, and you kind of forget how little children are. And, you know, one of them would wake up at 5:30, 5:45, and he'd come sneaking into our room, and he'd stand about 2 inches away from your face. He wouldn't say a word, wouldn't make any noise, wouldn't touch you. He just wait patiently until you woke up. It scared us. My cam opened up his eyes and this little face. Good morning, Grandpa. I want to play. You know, it's like, you got to be kidding me. 5:30 in the morning, like, it's still dark out. Go back to bed. No, I'm ready for life. You see, a child is excited. It's anxious to play and just enjoy every moment. I mean, every day, right? Children don't want to sleep. It's taking up too much of their time. And that time could be enjoyment of another toy or enjoyment of doing something. You have to fight with children to get them to go to sleep. Whereas we, it's like, it's time to crash. Or we crash when we're not feeling, we use that as an escape, right? So we need to stop and ask ourselves, are we really enjoying life? This morning, Cameron took me to a video that was on the internet. It was two little children. I don't know how old they have been, Cam, about a year and a half. And you know, years ago, we didn't have all those fancy fangled things that you keep your cupboard doors locked with. So they had used rubber rings, you know, we used to wrap the rubber rings around, but there was two little ones. Now, I don't know if they were both in the same family, they were siblings. They would have been twins then because they were both the same age. And they were about a year and a half. I don't even think they were that old. Anyways, they were standing by this cupboard on the video, and they had these two rubber bands, and there was two of them, and each one had one on the door handle. And every time they pulled on this rubber band and let it fly, it would snap, and they would giggle and giggle and giggle. And this just went on and on and on until we were just laughing and laughing. But that's how children enjoy. Because they are so full of that enjoyment, it doesn't matter what they do. They're just enjoying it. But I don't know who would be able to watch that video, but it is really cute. Really cute. So enjoying everyday life. We ought to be so much enjoying everyday life that we just can't wait to get up in the morning and get at life. I know you're all looking at me like, oh, brother. Just do life. Children are carefree. They have no stress. They can enjoy every moment of every day. We've looked at that over the past few weeks. They live in the moment. And you might be thinking, well, of course children can enjoy life. They have no responsibilities. They don't got to make money to feed or to provide food or to pay the rent or pay the electrical bills. Of course they're enjoying life. There's no responsibilities on their shoulders. They have nothing more to do than just enjoy life and play with rubber bands that pull up off the cupboards. You know, there's no jobs for them to do. But you know what? Children, I'm going to say this. I'm going to put it in perspective. Children love to play, right? Children love to play. And it doesn't have to be it could be a simple little thing. Very simple. That'll amuse them and bring enjoyment to them. But they love to play. It's what children do. But I'm going to ask you a question. Would you be happy, Donald, and excited to get up every day and to pull a rubber ring on a cupboard door or to drive a little toy truck around the rug all day? Would that bring you joy? Would that... He's saying it. Or if you're a girl, perhaps play with a doll, comb their hair. Of course not. You'd be bored to tears. And, you know, God knows that. So as we grow older, we need other things to stimulate us, to bring us enjoyment. God created work for your enjoyment. Not for your stress or your depression. You're supposed to enjoy what you do. God knows we're not going to enjoy doing the things we did as a child. But nevertheless, it's for our enjoyment. God knows we need to be busy, to be productive, to create, to accomplish. It's part of our nature, isn't it? But the point is, we ought to enjoy every day, every moment, no matter what you are doing, no matter how rich you are or how rich you are not. Because joy does not come from money. People might argue with me on that one, but it doesn't. You can have all the money in the world. You can have everything this world has to offer, and you will still not enjoy every day. So I want to share today a little bit about what the Lord has shown me about joy. Because the first thing he told me was you cannot enjoy life if you don't have joy. You can try all you want. You cannot enjoy every day, every moment without joy. So joy is not optional to us enjoying or being fruitful in our Christian lives. The Bible says that joy is your strength of this life. Now, think about that. Joy is your strength. There's nothing worse. There's nothing more dreary or depressing as when you have to do something you do not enjoy. Something you dread. I think we've all been there. So then what we do is we associate things we do outwardly to the level of our joy. Today's not a great day. Oh, I can't wait till today's over. How many times I have said that? Totally threw the day out the window. Can't wait till today is over. Wow. Instead of appreciating every day, living every moment. So we associate the things we do outwardly to our level of joy inwardly. But joy is a fruit, not a feeling. Joy is a fruit. Because if it's just a feeling, it comes and it goes. Some days you feel joy, some days you don't feel joy, right? It's a fruit that we have, not only when we are doing the things that we enjoy. Now, I don't want to cause confusion as to what I'm trying to say here today. Joy comes from the inside out, right? And it is the very staying power of your faith. Joy is the staying power of your faith. Many times we give up because there's no joy. We allow things to depress us and get us down. We lose our joy. When you have joy, it's easy to stand strong. You're strong when you're filled with joy. No matter what comes your way, you're strong. You're strong in tackling. You're full of joy. No job seems to be able to bring you down. Even things you don't even want to do, that you would not normally enjoy doing. You know, like changing a baby's dirty diaper. I mean, most men would, but when you're so full of joy, you know what? That dirty diaper's nothing. Hey guys, come on, can I hear an amen? So joy comes from the inside out. It is the staying power of your faith. So is it necessary? Is it important for us to have joy? We don't hear a lot taught in the church about joy. It's important that we have joy. Because without it, you're going to throw in the towel. When you get depressed, because depression is the opposite of joy, guess what happens? You could care less about anything. Is it not true? You all of a sudden just don't care. So joy is your staying power. If you do not have it, you will throw in the towel and you will quit. It's not worth the fight. So the joy that I'm referring to here today, which is a fruit, I have good news for you. It's already in you. You don't have to go out there and try and obtain it somewhere or wait on God and say, oh God, give me your joy. It's already on the inside of you, each one of us. We are not trying to obtain it from somewhere up there or somewhere out there. It's already on the inside of you. If Jesus is in your spirit, then his joy is in you. Just like we teach, his love is already in you. But like all of the fruit and the good things that God has given us, we need to tap into these things. It's there, but few people are experiencing the power of it, the deliverance of it, because joy delivers you from everything that you wouldn't enjoy. It delivers you. And it gives you enjoyment. It gives you joy in each day. So where does this joy come from? And how do you activate it? Because by your will, you cannot conjure up joy. Blessed God, I'm going to be happy today. That's the last thing I do. You know, you can put on a good show on the outside. And you can put a big smile on your face and bounce around. But inside, you're miserable. And you know what that is? That's self-righteousness. You're trying by your efforts to be something you're not. But when joy is a natural thing, when joy is in you and it's real, you don't have to try to enjoy anything. It just flows. People love to be around you. Why? Because you're always so happy. You're so upbeat. You're full of joy. People are thinking, I know you're looking at your spouse. Anyways, where were we? So joy is not a feeling. It is a fruit. It comes from on the inside. And we can't pretend to be full of joy simply because we're told Christians should be joyful. But we do that, especially when we come to church. Everybody smiles. And you get home and you look at each other and you wonder what happened to that happy person that was just with you for an hour and a half or so. So anyways, it is a form of self-righteousness when you try to pretend, okay? Meaning just you're trying to, self is trying to conjure up something that's really not real. So I want us to turn to the Gospel of John chapter 14 this morning. John chapter 14. You know, if a person had anything to choose from, just if, I always imagine things, wouldn't joy be one of the first things you would choose? Because joy just makes life worth living, doesn't it? There's nothing more wonderful. You know, when you look back on your whole life, and as you age and you get older, what are the things that really, really are vivid in your mind? It's usually the times of the most joy. You never forget them. You never forget that. And it's not even the thing you remember. It's how it made you feel that you remember. Wonderful. So many times we have such happy childhood memories. And even though you might not remember exactly what you were doing there, it's that sense of joy that you never forget, that feel good. And you know, you can have everything in the natural, all the nicest homes and vehicles and money and food and clothes and whatever. And without that feel good, who cares? It's worth nothing. And so joy is something that's very, very important to our well-being, to our emotional well-being. It's important to our faith. It's important to every part of our lives. So in John chapter 14, I want us to read from verses 21 to 24. He that has my commandments, here's Jesus speaking to his disciples, before he goes to the cross. He says, he who hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. What does the word manifest mean? It means make myself real. And Judas, not Iscariot, says to Jesus, how is it that you are going to manifest yourself to us and not unto the rest of the world? And Jesus says this, if a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode or our dwelling place with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which you hear, or the sayings that I am saying, in other words, is not mine, but the Father who has sent me. Now, first of all, you're probably wondering, what in the world has that got to do with joy? Like, we're reading about love now, we're talking about keeping the word, and you know, what has this got to do with joy or enjoying our everyday life? Verse 21, it says that he that hath my word and keepeth them is he that loves me. Now, the word keepeth many times has been interpreted as meaning obey. So really, it almost sounds like it's telling us that if you obey God's word, then he's going to love you. That's how we interpret it. And people really believe that God's love for you is based on how well you keep his word, how well you obey his sayings. But that's not really what this is saying. He that hath my word and keepeth it is he that loveth me. The word keepeth, very interesting word. It is translated. It means to pay attention. It means to revere, to be in awe of, to, I like to say it this way, to take God seriously. Okay, don't discard his word or kind of give it half of your attention. And I don't know if that's really, you know, to pay attention, give it some serious attention to what God says. And you know, I think it's time for the church to take God's word seriously. If the word says, by his stripes you are healed, then bless God, I am healed. That's taking the word of God seriously. I don't care what the doctors told you. I don't care what your body's telling you. His word says, this is so. Take it. You've got to be bold. You've got to pay attention. Take what God says serious. And you know, I'm going to share this with you. Nothing in all the universe, if anything you could do, say, touches the heart of God more than when you listen to his word and you say, wow, and you're in awe of his word. That is what really touches God's heart. He's looking always for someone who is paying attention to his word, who is saying, you know what, bless God, you said it. I don't care what's happening in my circumstances. You said I am healed. Therefore, I am healed. God just loves it. Someone believed what he said. Even in the natural, it makes sense. If you're talking and nobody believes you, what does that do? It doesn't give you honor. It belittles you. You know, because you and your word are one. When you say something and they don't listen, they don't believe what you're telling them. It's you that the insult is to you, because your words are you. And so when we revere and honor and are in awe when God speaks, and I mean, when he speaks, it is so much higher than what's going on down here. Right? If we only knew. And it's like that in every area, not just on healing. But whether it's prosperity, whether it's, you know what, take that leap of faith and believe him. That's what I'm telling you. Take a leap of faith and say, yes, I'm going to believe you. You're God. It's impossible, the Bible says, impossible that God would lie. He's not a man. He's not like you and I, that he's going to speak something he doesn't really believe. We speak things that are, you know, we embellish, we speak things that we don't keep our word. That's not God. God is not a man that he should lie. If he has said it, will he not also do it? So let's not put God in a category of man. So let's take that leap of faith. Let's put his word way up there. It's like, wow, God, I'm in awe when you speak. So nothing above all else touches God's heart than when we simply pay attention, when we give reverence, when we're in awe of his word, of what he has said. Then when we do that, we are honoring him above all. What is the word that he is placing before us? It is the word concerning Christ. Hear ye him. Remember the transfiguration on the mount where there was Moses and Elijah and Jesus? And they said, oh, let's build a temple or a booth for each one. And God came out of the clouds with a booming voice and said, this one is my son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So we know that if you take this passage of scripture out of context, it almost sounds like the Father only loves those who take him at his word, only loves those who obey his word, those who pay attention. But you know, that's not true, because the Bible says and tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. The Bible also tells us in John 3:16 that God so loved that he sent Jesus. Well, when did he so love? When we all got better? No, he so loved before we even knew he existed. So God loves you, okay? So you need to get that straight. But God's manifest love, which is a love that you feel. For example, Tori might know that Don loves her. He's way, way, way far away. She's never even met him. So she knows this. She's had knowledge of his love. But it's not until he comes and she experiences him and his love that she actually can say, you know, now the love is manifest, okay? So we can know about God's love. But is it manifest? Is it real to you? Is it filling you every day? Do you understand? That's what this is talking about. So God is saying here, he that pays attention to my word, in him my love will be manifest. It's in him that's going to know and experience my love. Does that make sense? So this verse is not debating whether or not God loves you, but rather teaching us that God's love will be manifest or made real in those who pay attention, to those who take him seriously. Why? Why can God not just manifest his love to each one of us apart from this, apart from his word? Well, all things that God gives us is through his word. It's through Jesus. Jesus is the word who became flesh and dwelt among us. But Jesus is no longer here, is he? So we have his word. But his word is just as powerful and just as real as Jesus was when he was on the earth. We only know Jesus and the Father now by his word. And when you believe that word about his love for you, then that love for you, it becomes real in you and it begins to manifest. Do you understand? That's how it works. That's God's way. But you know, joy works the same way. Joy isn't something you just get because life is good. Because everything in your life is perfect. Just like love. Love doesn't just come. I love everybody. Everybody's not lovable. It's hard. It's hard to love everybody. We can't. In fact, it's impossible for us to love everybody. We need help. We need help with everything. We need help with love, joy, peace. None of us has it. So joy works the same way. When we pay attention to the Word of God, when we truly believe God's Word, concerning what? Where does this joy come from? Concerning the victory Jesus has won over your sin. He's completely taken it all away. He has completely released you from all the curse, all the pain, and the punishment. When you take that word seriously, it begins to manifest in your heart, and the joy and the victory begins to arise in your heart. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse 8, happy is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The word happy is blessed. It's glad. Happy. When we truly believe this, we experience joy. But I'm going to tell you something this morning maybe that you didn't know, and the Lord showed me this. Just like when you experience love in your heart, it's not your love, is it? Joy is not your joy either. See, and that's where we need to understand it's not your joy. Because if it was your joy, then it would have to be there based on something you did or something you're going to do. But it's not your joy. It's his joy. That's why we say Jesus is my joy. But do you understand what that means? Jesus is my joy. Jesus is my love. Jesus is my peace. He's my everything. But what does that mean? What does it mean to you? Do you know that Jesus has more joy over what he did for you than you do? He's rejoicing always. He is so full of joy at the victory. He's not joyful because he beat up the devil. Okay? He's joyful because he saved you. You're his joy. And he has far more joy over you than you could even imagine. His heart is so full of joy. And it's his joy over his victory that is your joy. Remember, you're one. If he has the victory, you have the victory. So the more that we see his victory at the cross, the more joy we will experience. His joy will begin to be manifest in our hearts. Because we're one. It's not our joy, it's his joy. His joy in the victory becomes our joy and is manifested in us. It becomes real when we believe his word concerning his victory at the cross. And then in John chapter 16, Jesus said this in verse 15, that our joy is made full when we exercise the victory in his name. So first of all, it's his joy coming into our hearts, his joy in the victory, When we finally rejoice in the victory with him and it becomes our joy, then our joy is made full when we exercise that victory in his name. That's why he says, whatever you ask in my name, ask in my name, whatever. Think about that for a while, people. Whatever things you desire, when you ask in the name of Jesus, my Father will do it. He will do it. Why? So that your joy might be made. You know, I know that in the footnotes, in most Bibles, it'll say, whenever that word, what sort of things you desire when you pray, believe, you receive, or whatever you ask, the word whatever, and then they give a whole big long paragraph about warning you that that's not really whatever. It is whatever. Whatsoever you ask. In my name. You know what the Bible says? That if whatever, if you fast forward into the little book, First John, I believe it's chapter 5, it says this: whatsoever things you ask in his name, you know that he hears you. And you also know that if he hears you, he's already given you the petitions you ask. Now, do we really take that seriously in our lives? Do we practice that every day? That truth alone ought to make you get up in the morning and say, bless God, another day to prove, another day to ask and to see him work in my life. That ought to bring joy. It ought to bring, make us be like little children who are up at 5:30, just waiting on life, waiting to do life. The sad thing is the alarm goes off and we slam it off and then we roll over and then it goes off again. And it's like, oh, do I have to get up today? And then your mind starts thinking about all the things it has to do today. And most of the things, not enjoyable things. And you might have one enjoyable thing thrown in there. You know, you might be going out for lunch today to Ivy's. And that's an enjoyable thing. But that's how we live day to day. So remember, you are his joy. Do you know that I find joy in just knowing that? There's joy in just knowing that you're his joy. You rejoice in your own children. You know, you see these little ones and they become your joy. You know, you just like to touch them and kiss them and you just want to squeeze them. That gives them joy. You see how joy is transmitted one from the other. So in my heart, it gives me joy to know that I'm his joy, right? It gives you a sense of well-being, a sense of, yes, everything's going to be all right. You are his joy. You were the prize. He completely, remember we looked at that scripture, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, he suffered it all. And he completely delivered you from all evil. And then it says he crowned you with glory and honor and set you over all the work of his hand, that whatever you ask in his name, he will do it. So in other words, what I'm trying to say here is you are free today to enjoy every moment of every day. You see, sometimes we bind ourselves. We put the limits on ourselves. Well, surely to goodness, I cannot enjoy that. Yes, you can. You know why? Because whatever that thing has that causes you to dread it or not enjoy it, God is bigger than that, and he can see it through. Many times we associate things we can't do properly. You know, I dread it because I'm not very good at it. Let him be the one who does it. It's an opportunity. Every day, no matter what you face, I don't care if you think you haven't got the goods, you haven't got the ability, he's there. He's not leaving you, and he will give you everything you need so that life, you can just enjoy life. Let it go. Here, you do it. I can't do it, Lord. I can't. I've had to learn that myself in order to be free to enjoy. I don't like to be stressed all the time thinking about what I have to do tomorrow and oh, my goodness, I got to do this next week, and oh, I got to make sure that's done. And, you know, it's like life is too short. Trust him to make sure those things are done. Really. He'll remind you, and you won't have to stress over it for 3 weeks or make little sticky notes all over your kitchen wall to remind you of all these things. I mean, I'm not saying I have nothing against people who plan and make sticky notes. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But some people are so stressed that, you know, they're constantly adding or, you know, relax. Enjoy every moment of every day. We get so uptight that there's things happening around here that we could be enjoying, but our mind's already on the next task. Our minds are not there. We're stressed because something else has to be done today or tomorrow. Don't live that way. Life goes by way too fast. Way too fast. He has done it. He has set you free. He has supplied everything you need for every day. Why? So you can just relax and enjoy. Just trust him. Let it go. Let it go. And you know, the biggest battle you're going to have in this lifetime, the biggest battle you will ever face this side of heaven, is to maintain your hold on Christ as your joy. Is to maintain your hold on Christ as your everything. Because our tendency is to substitute something else for Christ. Whether it's joy, whether it's, you know, I mean, you love to enjoy life, right? So in your thinking, you think, well, if I have a vacation, that's going to bring me enjoyment. If I go out and buy this brand new car, that's going to bring me enjoyment. You know, all these things we substitute. Nothing wrong with any of those things. God has given you in this life all things richly to enjoy. But make him your joy. And then you will enjoy all things. Even little things will bring you joy. Like a rubber band stuck on two, pulling a rubber band. Like that just blew me away. That was so cute. Those kids were having they were laughing so hard they were falling over. Like it wasn't just a little giggle. They were laughing and laughing. And I thought, wow, that is so cute. So our tendency is to substitute something else for Christ, something else for our joy, something else for love, whatever we substitute. Something else in your day as your reason for being joyful, or vice versa, something in your day for not being joyful. To look at something in your day that you don't enjoy. When we substitute anything for Christ, you are going to experience disappointment. You know, even substituting your daily confession in the Word, even substituting your prayer time, we do that. We expect a good day, well, bless God, I prayed this morning. Bless God, I confess the word. I ought to have a good day. That's not Christ. No. You can, you know, it's like substituting a picture of your wife for the real thing. And your wife is sitting right over there and you're sitting there poring over her photograph and she's going, aha, right here. Now, all of these things, don't get me wrong, confession of the word, prayer, meditation, all those things are good and they lead us to Christ. But it's Christ himself that is your joy, not your confession, not your reading the Bible or your prayers. Is Jesus real to you? Is he your joy every day? So don't sit down and look at a picture of him. There's a laying hold of Christ that every one of us must do. It's like, okay, I'm done now. How long, how many times do I have to stare into this thing? I want it. I want to make it my own. And it was like the Lord showed me that the other night. That's it. From now on, you get up in the morning and you tell yourself, bless God, I'm going to enjoy today. And you know, when you get up and you just hang on, you just take a hold of that joy, which is Christ himself. It's amazing how the day will just all of a sudden unfold. And you will sense joy. You'll have joy in everything you do. Even those menial little tasks that we do every day, like clean out the toilet. And, you know, it's like, you know, it's life just becomes much brighter. Right? And I know there's that saying that life is what you make of it, you know, but that's not true. Life is what Jesus has made of it. And what Jesus has made of it is wonderful. We can enjoy life. So don't substitute things in your life for joy, because they'll disappoint you. How many things? I mean, things wear off. It might bring you joy for a day, maybe even a week, 2 weeks. And then it wears off. And then you're looking for something else to substitute to bring some joy. And even, like I say, you can get so caught up in your prayer that it becomes like a work of the flesh. And you think because you've done that in the spiritual, you've prayed so much every day and read the word and confessed. And we think even that is a substitute for the reality of Christ and his joy. We must never put our joy or our sense of righteousness in line with something we do. Never. Or we have done. With both hands, we need to grab hold of Christ, his person. He is your joy. See it. See that. Push through all the other stuff that you might think and just take hold of him. He is the joy. He won't let you down. And the joy of you doing that, his joy will reflect back into your heart. You see, joy is a supernatural thing. His joy is supernatural. It says that it is a joy that is, how does it say it? Some of you help me out here. Unspeakable joy, full of glory. That is not a joy you're going to get on the earth. That is not a joy that comes now. It is his joy, supernatural joy. And when you've never tasted that joy, how do you know what you have never tasted? How do you miss something you've never known? But I guarantee you, if you've ever had a glimpse of it and just had a taste of it, and you know it can come into your heart when there is nothing around you that seemingly is joyful. It is a supernatural joy. It is your staying power in the Christian life. It is the power to stand strong in his word and know that he will do what his word says he will do. We need this joy. So every don't let one more day go by and just kind of like mediocre. No, grab hold of him. He is the joy in your heart. You know, if you could imagine a place in your life or a time where you're completely, just so enjoying life, what would you see? You are free to go there. You see, we don't set ourselves free to enjoy life. It's you yourself to keep you bound. Be free. Live. Enjoy. There is no more condemnation. There is no more sin to your account. You are completely free. You can trust that God is going to look after you at all times, in all places, in every circumstance. He is going to be there for you. So you just enjoy. You're just along for the ride. Amen. It's Jesus. It's Jesus who does it all. He set us free to enjoy. To enjoy life. So let go. He's got you. He's looking after you. So let's not let any more time pass. Let's enjoy each day, each moment, no matter what life brings. Take the time. Tell yourself. Take the time to enjoy life, no matter what. Whether it's time with your children, whether it's time, whatever time you're spending in whatever thing you're doing, enjoy it. Don't let any negative things in your day steal your joy. Because lots of thoughts will come to your mind. And it's funny. I know since the Lord has shared this with my heart, just little thoughts, not anything big, nothing terribly, terribly bad, but just little thoughts, little negative things. Oh, I should have done that. And instantly I've noticed, it's like, ooh, it's like you just get this down on the inside. And I thought, no, I'm not going to let that destroy my day. I just confess there's no condemnation. Maybe I should have done that, but it doesn't matter. It's too late now anyways, so I'm just going to continue on and enjoy my day, and I'm not even going to let myself think about that thought because it was something I couldn't change anyways. You see how thoughts will come along and make you feel, when you have joy, and all of a sudden it's like, mm. And before you realize it, these thoughts compound, and you're really down, and you're not enjoying anything. you're fussing, you're fretting in your mind, don't let that happen. Recognize thoughts that come along that want to bring you down and steal your joy of the day. Amen? God loves to see you laugh. He loves to see you full of joy, just like those two little children. I'm sure their parents were just enjoying that with them, laughing, because we were laughing. We didn't even know the kids. God loves to see you happy and laughing, just like we love to see our children happy and enjoying life. We hate seeing our children walking around with long faces, being sad, being anxious. We just love to see them enjoying life at all times. Amen. God is no different. And he's given us Jesus so that we can. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. We thank you for the supernatural joy that Jesus himself has. And we have Jesus. So I thank you that this week, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, you will open up our eyes, enlarge our hearts to see his joy, to receive his joy. I thank you that you will remind us, Holy Spirit, every day to just enjoy life. To just enjoy life because we can. Because Jesus has looked after everything. There is nothing, no obstacle too big or too hard that he hasn't already solved for us, that he hasn't already given us everything that we need, the ability, even finances. Lord, let us just not be hindered or let us stress or fear about finances, Lord. You've already said you've supplied all that we need. All of the riches of the glory of Jesus Christ belongs to each and every one of us. And I just pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, we would see these truths, that we would just let go and allow the joy of the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ to be felt and known in our hearts, that we would lay hold on this joy, lay hold on Jesus and all that he has done. And I just give you the glory, Father God, and the praise for the Holy Spirit today, who is going to take these words and bring life, bring joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory into each one of our hearts. And I give you the praise for this.